Oh, it's all about attitude. You know what I love? I love the upside down, sideways, backwardsness of Jesus. Digest that for a little bit. Wait, Jesus is backwards? See, take everything you know and look at it while standing on your head. And if that doesn't work, look at it in a mirror. And if that doesn't work, look at it sideways. If that doesn't work, try something else that gives you a different perspective. See, in the Sermon on the Mount, this week we read from Matthew 5, 38 to 48. Well, in the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus took the common knowledge of the day and asked people to look at it differently. He took the accepted practices and the unbreakable rules. There really were unbreakable rules. It was just like, you don't do this, whether they were written or not. He took those unbreakable rules and asked folks to consider that causing harm while following those practices and rules went contrary to why any of the practices and rules existed in the first place. And as often as we quote passages, especially from this reading here, we like to say, love your enemies and turn the other cheek and all those parts there. And they're good nuggets just by themselves. But I don't think that the whole Sermon on the Mount, and this passage in particular, is about the specific instructions. It's more about the attitude that Jesus wanted and wants everyone to have. So while we can take specific instructions, there's an attitude underneath all of it. Notice people because they matter. Treat them as if they matter. Be generous and kind, even when you don't feel like it. There's an attitude that Jesus is presenting here. And if you can't find a way to do that, to notice people, to treat people as if they matter, to be generous and kind even when you don't do it, try doing all of that while standing on your head, right? I'm sorry, parents, for kids who are going to ask you to stand on their head. But there is something glorious and wonderful about getting a different perspective. There was a time I was preaching in a church where the pulpit was a little bit lighter than this, but not much. And I wanted a different perspective on things. And so I asked people to come up, and they lifted up the pulpit, and they took it over to another place. Here, it would be over there. And so I preached from over there, so everyone would get a different view and a different experience of church that day. I'm not going to do that today because I don't think that we can move this without the roller, and it would take like 40 minutes to get it over there. And anyone want to stay an extra 40 minutes in church today? Wayne? No? Okay. But why get a different perspective? Maybe that's the question that we should address instead. You see, everything looks different when you stand on your head. It may be because you're turned upside down. It may be because you're doing something your body says, I'm not doing this anymore. Maybe because you feel silly standing on your head. But being silly gives you a different perspective. It gives you enough time. Here it is. It gives you enough time to stop taking yourself so seriously and realize that there's more to life than all the rules. Oh, but Kirk, you say, I don't understand what you're getting at. Rules are important. The standing on your head thing doesn't give me a clearer picture of what I should do to follow God. Please give me another idea. Or did I just say that? I made myself say that, and you're not thinking that at all. You're like, can we just have the sermon be over with? Anyone? No? I'm going to keep going then. Okay. See, do something that will have you experience the world in a different way. Cross your eyes. Go ahead, try it. I don't like to do that, but it makes me experience the world in a different way. Jump up and down for a minute. Or 4 seconds. Sing a song at the top of your lungs. Not in the shower, in the grocery store. Read a book upside down. Deacons, you can attest to this. Occasionally you will come up and one of you doesn't have a bulletin, and so when it's time to do the prayer afterwards, I take it and I flip everything upside down, and then you have to read the whole prayer upside down. Try and do it right now. Look at your bulletin. And we're going to read the call to worship upside down. Okay, I'm going to do the part. Draw near to God's statutes, the psalmist writes. How many of you still have it upside down? If you have it right side up, okay, yeah. All right. Let us be led in the paths of God's commandments. Worship God in honesty and forthrightness. Perfect. It's a little hard to do, but it sure gives you a different perspective even on the reading. So try to read a book upside down sometime. You're like, no. It exercises your brain. Did you read some latest scientific research that says that, you know, we've had a lot of talk about Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia that affect memory. And one of them says that you can lower your chances of having effects of diseases like that by learning a second language. If you know a second language, something else in your brain is triggered, and it can offset some of the problems that are associated with the plaque or whatever it is that causes Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia. And when you speak another language, it gives you a different perspective on things. If you can't learn to speak another language, make up another language that only you speak. And that would be like learning another language. Or you could try to learn Klingon or Navi. Or what are some other movie languages that haven't been invented? Or just try Esperanto. I think that would be... Anyone remember what Esperanto is? One? No. It's a language created by some genius that was supposed to be the universal language. And it didn't really catch on, although William Shatner was in a movie that was filmed entirely in Esperanto. I don't remember the name of the movie. But since William Shatner has done just about everything, we can... It's all about getting a different perspective, right? That started with reading a book upside down. Listen to music backwards. And no, you don't always or ever hear the devil speak when you listen to music backwards. I know some records... Does anyone have records anymore? Yeah, I mean, you could spin it... How do you... And now you just... You have an MP3 on your computer and you isolate a certain section, then you say play backwards. There's some free software that you can download and it'll just play it backwards. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't do that. But some of you already probably have done that, right? Or you can get your record player out and just spin it backwards. It scratches the records really, really bad because the needles are... Here, little bit of radio knowledge that I'm going to give you. Turntable needles that were at homes were usually elliptical, which means they worked well in one direction, but not in the other direction. They kind of put micro scratches in the record. But then at radio stations or DJs had spherical ones. It was just smack right there, so it didn't matter which way it went that the needle hit the groove the correct way. And there aren't elliptical or spherical lasers that read CDs anymore, and nothing to do with non-moving parts that MP3s have or anything like that. So, but if you have a turntable at home and you want to play your records backwards, go to the record store, if any still exist, or go online and ask for a spherical stylus or a spherical needle to put in there, and then you can play the records backwards. Some of you are going to try that. Who has a record player still? Just Keith? Oh, we have plenty of them. So you can order and you can play all your records backwards. And remember, country music, your dog comes back, your wife comes back, all that stuff when you play it backwards. Or some easier things than doing that. How about pet a dog? Petting a dog makes you feel good. Unless you're allergic to dogs, then it doesn't. But pet a dog. Pet a cat. If you like to pet dogs, usually pet a cat, because petting a cat feels good, unless you don't like cats or you're allergic to cats. But it's another thing to try. Establish a Facebook page if you don't have a Facebook page. Really, it's something different. Or stay off Facebook, depending on where you are in your journey on that. Watch more TV or watch less TV. Read a book, read a magazine, read a comic book, depending on what you don't read. Listen to classical music. Listen to hip-hop music. Turn off all the music. Sit in a different pew. All right, I know I've gone too far now. But Just get a different perspective on the world. Anything that helps you to understand, embrace, even celebrate that everyone matters. That's the attitude that I'm going for in all of this. Look at things differently. So if you're always kind, be kinder to someone this week. And if you're always grumpy, be kinder to someone this week. In the Bible reading, we learn that the rain falls on all of your friends and all of your enemies. Today, the icy rain fell on all of your friends and all of your enemies. The sun shines on all of your friends and all of your enemies. Prosperity comes to your friends and to your enemies. Poverty comes to your friends and to your enemies. Your friends and your enemies find reasons to celebrate. Your friends and your enemies suffer tragedies. And there is no one, not a one, among your friends or your enemies whom God does not love. I want to read off a list of things that are written in the verses that we read today. And if you have your Bibles open, go back to the reading that I would have done last week if I was here. Kathy used 1 Corinthians, but if we were still in the Beatitudes and the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, would have read those before. I'm going to read you a list of people whom Jesus described, good or bad, and no matter how mad you look at all of these folks described, all of the ones on the list are people whom God loves. So we have evildoers, those who sue you, people in power over you, neighbors, enemies, the righteous, the unrighteous, brothers and sisters, others, Gentiles, murderers, those who are angry, adulterers, those who lust, those who have been divorced, liars, truth tellers. That's just from 2 weeks worth of readings. And you know that you can add any person or group of people to this list. Anyone. You don't have to call it out now, but just think. Think of the best possible people or group of people to put on there. Think of the worst possible or group or people to put on there. Everyone's included on the list whom God loves. But then there's this sticky part at the end of the reading. After we've gone through all the lists, there's an instruction. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, we might as well just throw it all out then, because can't be perfect. Anybody? Perfect? I saw a hand go up there in the back. Anybody? No? I can't do that. Not with all the encouragement in the world. Not if I'm getting a new perspective. No way, no how can I be perfect. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure that that's in some way what you're thinking. And guess what? God knows that. It's why we have to look at the list and remember that nobody is perfect. Nobody's perfect on this list, no matter how good or bad you think that person is. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you don't try, perfection is impossible. Church founder, one of our forefathers of Christianity, but at least Methodism, John Wesley, he said that holy living was absolutely necessary, but he acknowledged that he made mistakes all the time and that he wasn't a person who lived a holy living. Sure, we try, but it's impossible. It's impossible for you. It's impossible for you. It's impossible for me. It's impossible for everyone. Beautiful thing is that God's grace is not impossible. We make it think that it's impossible. How could God love me with all the things that I've done? How could God love them with all the things that they've done? We're really good at the them and they've part, right? We're really good at saying, I'm not going to judge, but how could God love them? But God's grace is not impossible. God's grace is with you. God's grace is with you. God's grace is with you. I could point to everybody here. So God's grace is with you. It's with everyone else. No matter who, no matter what, no matter where. Truly, God's grace abounds for all. And in an effort to get the title of the sermon into the end that I always like to do, just remember that God's grace is present for those who experience sun and rain. Amen.